Mini-episode 926 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. We have a great guest with us here again today, at Swollen Dome himself, Michael Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Michael is here to talk fantasy football with us, and I have to say that this is a situation this week here. Originally, we were looking at doing another taping with one of our all-time legends here with the show, Bob Barker. Bob had to reschedule until January. I got to tell you, there's a short list of people where I hear that, and I hear who's up next, and I say, I ain't even mad, because I love taping segments with this guy. I ain't even mad, Michael. Welcome back to the show. I always look forward to having you on.
I'll tell you what, that is always the interesting thing. Well, I'm not even mad. This guy's on the phone. it's all good. It's, you know, that time of year, fantasy football playoffs, everybody immersed in the holidays. So that gives a little bit of levity, you know, a little bit of an outlet to not stress out about family and all the things that are thrown upon a calendar. I was looking at mine a little bit earlier, just shaking my head, saying, how do you do this without being cloned or being overly taxed on caffeine and sugar?
Well, I got to tell you, Michael, whenever I am out on Sunday mornings with my dad, I'm always wanting to flip over, if I got control of the radio, flip it over there to listen to you on Sunday mornings there. And I'm always saying, I love this guy. He's been on our show a bunch of times. I love this guy. So I love catching you during the week as well.
That.
Yeah, 8 to 11.
Yeah, Dan and I have a good time Sunday mornings. You know, it's a lot of information to pack into 2 hours when you're trying to go game to game, and you got injury updates coming in and trying to keep it light and fun because, let's face it, a lot of competition out there. So always trying to find a little different angle to get people the information they need and not be talking like the micro machines advertisements of so many years ago, and that's the wink and a nod to all those that have been playing these games long enough to where they remember said commercials. But it's a you know, it's a fun outlet, and during the week, you know, just getting after it on everything under the sun. So fantasy sports still very important to the lifeblood of the sporting world, I think.
That's right. And of course, during the week, 8 to 11 Pacific time with Jason Smith, and caught a little bit last night, and you guys were definitely having some fun with the Alabama election results, as would be anticipated. Myself, as a lifelong member of the North Coast, I never thought that after Doug Jones got done being a junk ball closer for my Cleveland Indians, he would go on to such great heights, Michael.
I tell you, that was a show that got off the rails, and if you didn't laugh along, I suggest you make a doctor's appointment and check your pulse. The podcast is up at foxsportsradio.com or iTunes. It's really, sometimes there's just a story that takes us. I mean, and, you know, as you do, preparing for these, I mean, you've got your ideas of what you want to do, and then all of a sudden something pops up that just takes you away. I mean, we barely touched any of the stories that we'd spent, you know, an hour prepping before the show. It's like, all right, it's gone sideways. Because all of a sudden you've got the Lithuanian welcoming of the Ball family, and you get the genius of the guy interviewed talking about his vote for Nick Saban.
That's right.
That happens. As soon as that happens, I mean, everything else goes out the window, because now you've got material, and it becomes a big improvisational class more than anything else.
I'm not going to lie. I popped for the big Baltic reference last night. No question about that. But, that was truly amazing. But you, like you said, you got to go with where the zeitgeist takes you in that moment. That's where it was. Certainly this weekend here for all of America, it's the fantasy football playoffs that is the zeitgeist that is grabbing us all. So in looking ahead here, what is the semifinals coming up for any sane leagues out there with the championships the week afterwards? I, unfortunately, as I mentioned to you off air, I'm in a 17-week league, which I rue every year right about this time. But for everybody out there that's got 2 weeks left to go in their leagues, who are you looking at and thinking, okay, these are some guys that have favorable matchups, not just this week, but potentially the week after?
Well, I think as you just go there, I play week to week, I mean, because other than your defense and kicker, you know, you're dancing most of the time with who brung you.
Yes.
You're not going to get overthink it, because the last thing you want to do is, all right, I've ridden this guy for 14 weeks, but you know what, the matchup doesn't look quite right, so I'm shutting him down. I mean, a great example was this past week. If your gut told you don't play Brady on Monday night against the Dolphins, hey, you know what? You were right. And if you look at history, Tom Brady has clearly hated fantasy football players for a long time, with one or more duds in a number of playoff weeks. But the fact of the matter is, you've just seen him dominate, and you had a good matchup against Miami, so you're not sitting him down. Now, I know a number of my friends who found themselves unceremoniously bounced from leagues, self-included, because of Brady's underperformance. But, you know, when you look at, say, this week, you know, is it a great matchup for Russell Wilson? No. He's been terrible historically against the Rams, but given where he's been performing and where you look at his defenses this year, particularly, you know, giving up yardage to running backs and certainly to quarterbacks around the move, it's hard to push him too far down your rankings. Is he a top two or three? No, but he's still in that top 12, so you're not shutting him down necessarily, but you certainly are tempering your expectations. And, you know, any of your sites you're using that are estimating his point value for this week, it's going to start drifting down a little bit. You know, and you just try to ride a hot hand, I think, as you go as well. You know, if you did make the switch, say Phillip Rivers struggling early, but now the last seven or eight games, Keenan Allen is one of the monsters going, you just have to keep rolling. So when you start at the quarterback position, you know, there's really not a lot of change. It's all the usual suspects sitting there at the top. You know, there's a couple that you're wringing your hands over, right? Because week after week, we're not seeing Drew Brees throwing for 400 yards and three touchdowns anymore. But are you going to bench him? No, because the likelihood of him having one of those games over, say, you know, Keenum or one of the others is probably a bit higher. Running back position, yeah, that's shuffled up a little bit, because now Kenyon Drake going up against Buffalo creeps into the back end of the number ones. Alex Collins, now a player for popular people, given the rise of the Baltimore offense, so he's a top-end number two. And even though his workload got cut in that game, and I'll never understand why on a third and one they're throwing the ball instead of just letting it crash straight through, Rex Burkhead, also known as the Juggernaut, still gets his carries going up against Pittsburgh, so he's still a solid RB2 despite the, you know, 5 carries, 8 yard line that he had against Miami, a game that we're still scratching our heads over. But we dance with who brung us, the long story short.
Well, absolutely. And again, there's just a lot that goes along with fantasy football, which obviously, again, the game for the masses, but by far the most luck-based of any of the games here. You compare it to any of the longer season ones, baseball, basketball, hockey. You've really got, in terms of that smaller sample size here, one or two games that can really skew it. Nevertheless, you look at it this year, and we've been talking about this all year long, the story of the year, at least fantasy-wise, is all the stars going down. And again, aside from the IDP thing here, the J.J. Watts of the world don't really factor into the situation as much, Richard Sherman, et cetera, but there have been enough strong fantasy players that have gone down, and we could all name them by heart right about now. It's been that kind of a season to where you get outside of a couple of the Pittsburgh players here. You got Bell and Brown. You got a handful of guys who are really putting up monster numbers again this year. But it's been a little bit flatter towards the top. Obviously, 3 weeks to go here in terms of what the output is going to be for the season. So it's really been a fantasy season, it seems like, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment and say unlike any we've ever seen before, but unlike most years, it seems like, where you don't have that many standout performers that are able to carry your teams. I know, like in the case of my team that's in the playoffs, Shady McCoy, he's having a good year, I guess you'd say. I mean, I don't know if by his standards it would be. Russell Wilson, and you're making me glad he's got a bye this week in my league, Michael, with what you said about him, because I agree with you about that. But it seems like teams are being carried by a couple of, you know, really good players as opposed to great players this year. It seems like the injury epidemic has really kind of hit fantasy in that way.
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, just go down your top fantasy point scorers in standard leagues. I mean, the difference between, you know, number one and number six at quarterback, Russell Wilson to Kirk Cousins, it's, you know, 70 points over the 14 weeks that have been played thus far, and go even deeper to the back to the number 12. I mean, you're talking about almost 100-point differential when you go into the running backs. It's so stark between what Gurley and Bell have done with Alvin Kamara coming in third, that, you know, you've got this huge drop-off. Wide receivers, Julio Jones, we lament the lack of touchdowns. He's still eighth among wide receivers for all of that, for all of the hand-wringing that goes through it. Now, certainly going forward on draft day, I think people are going to make some other evaluations, and we get caught up in the recency bias, as you said, you know, with saying, oh, this is the worst ever. It seems worst, I think, because you start to add in all the other factors for the NFL in terms of negative headlines, and then you start piling up star players that you can't feature in your promos. Hey, you know what? You would be seeing these two guys, but they're both on the shelf for the year. So we've had a lot of that go on. You know, that hurts the league as well. And I think there's already not that everybody's going negative on the NFL, but certainly this is just another downer story when you see the number of, you know, guys that have gone down. This week, it's why Aaron Rodgers' return is such a big deal. Sure, mathematically, they're, 6-10% chance of making the playoffs based on the schedule and everything that has to happen, but it's still, you know, you're saying there's a chance kind of thing is what flows into this. So, you know, hey, don't never tell me the odds, or, you know, I'm supposed to spout off a bunch of Star Wars lines while I'm at it, because it's, you know, nerd week across the vast sports spectrum as well. But I think it's, you know, you've had a couple of new heroes rise, but even we had a few guys early on that looked like they were going to become the next big thing. A guy like Dalvin Cook, and all of a sudden, well, that's torn out of your lineup. The second running back right away, Spencer Ware, never gets started, you know, and all of a sudden you've got these holes in your lineup blown before you played 2 or 3 weeks of the season. And depending on how your league's set up, you know, you may not be able to make a ton of moves. You may not, if your rosters are deep enough, there may not be stuff on the bench. I'm in one where there's 20 players per roster.
Wow.
Trying to find someone who's viable on the bench. If you lose a starter and your roster has a couple of those, you know, handcuffs or tertiary roll the dice, maybe they get a break down the line kind of guys, man, there's not much on the waiver wire. And, you know, in the industry world, one of those leagues, you know, guys aren't very keen on trading with one another either.
Right.
They don't want to make the move that ends up sabotaging their season, and then they get a bunch of columns written about how big a dope they are. So they don't do it. So everybody sits on that. So, you know, you may be playing a guy who's only getting 5 touches a week at the running back position as your RB2. So, you know, that's the type of league. But one thing that I can say is all these injuries is, it allows me to get back and do the stump speech on including the free agent acquisition budget in your leagues, either for real or fictional purposes, in terms of the dollars spent, because it makes things get a little bit crazy and makes people have to bid. And it's not just based on, you know, 2 bad weeks out of the gate and someone gets to start stacking their team and all of a sudden, hey, they're a juggernaut because anybody that was valuable on the waiver wire they were able to pick up while they were downtrodden at the front. Like, I like that there's a competition that has to go through, and you've got to be judicious with your budget. But that's a whole other thing for another time. But it's certainly been a crazy year in that regard, you know, just trying to keep pace with, you know, where the touches, targets, and coach decision making are happening, especially now where you've got, what, 12 to 15 coaches who may be looking for other employment this next year.
Absolutely. But I got to say, too, I think going full circle on the fantasy stuff here, as we go into the fantasy football playoffs here for everybody, the semifinals and then the finals in most leagues in the next 2 weeks here, this season, has it not? I mean, from what you just said there, it seems like this season has really been more of an advertisement for the fundamentals and kind of going back to basics than what we generally see. Because I know, like, beginning of the year, in my one league where I got Shady McCoy kind of later in the first round, I looked at it and I was like, okay, I'm not that excited about it, but it's what the board tells me to do. I would imagine a lot of the people took Todd Gurley kind of felt the same way. I think he was probably going late second round, early third round, which was a good spot for him. It turned out to be a great spot, but a leap of faith if you look at what he did a year ago. You probably didn't feel that great about it, but if you just trusted the process, so to speak here, trademark Sam Hinkie, yeah. I mean, this is what you have to do, and I think this year really kind of bears it out, doesn't it, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely true. I mean, you're looking at Le'Veon Bell, of all those guys up at the top, he's the one guy that, you know, was the set it and forget it, right, at the top of the board. You drafted him. And even there were some questions coming in, but when you looked at the running back position, it's like, all right, I'll take him, because you know the workload is going to be there as a runner and receiver. Other than that, you started going down the line going, all right, if New Orleans commits to the run, .. Well, you've gotten rewarded. Mark Ingram sitting there as, what, the fifth or sixth player on your board in terms of fantasy points in standard league. Kamara has been marvelous find for them, nearly 1,300 total yards and 11 scores already. You know, folks missed him in week 14. If your playoffs started, hopefully you succeed and proceed to steal from Calipari, and then you live on to have him back in your lineup. But, otherwise you're looking at guys, bad teams that committed to running the football. Jordan Howard, the aforementioned McCoy. You look at Lamar Miller, you know, the fact that Foreman got hurt allowed, you know, Miller to keep his workload, and be curious to see what his numbers would look like had Watson not gotten hurt. A guy like Alex Collins breaks through. I mean, you got some of your traditional running backs, and even for all the mess that was Ezekiel Elliott, to show you where the running back position is overall, he's still top 10. And he wasn't very good for the first stretch of games, right, as he got himself into shape. And now, obviously, missing a chunk of time, yet he's still 10th on the board. Just kind of showing you how fractured things are and where there was value to be had for teams that decided to just stick to basics. You look at Leonard Fournette. They did a great rope-a-dope coming into the season, talking about his ankle and how much they didn't know whether he'd be available, and what they do. They've run him into the ground.
Yeah, it's a smart thing to do when you have him, and it's really helped make things look better for Blake Bortles and make him look more like an actual NFL quarterback. It is always a pleasure talking football with you, Michael Harmon. Love listening to you on Fox Sports Radio, as I know our whole audience does, and always a pleasure to get to catch up with you on the show, sir, at Swollen Dome on Twitter. And thank you so much for being on with us again today, Michael.
Great things ahead. Look forward to the next time when we're talking about the fantasy titles we didn't win and setting up the shop for 2018. And when you're ready to do the drunken rehash of what happened this year overall and who let us down in the finals, you let me know. If I can just let off a bunch of expletive riddled kind of statements, I'm there.
Well, there's no dump button, unlike your chosen medium here every night, Michael. So, we can let our freak flag fly, no question about it. Let people see a different Michael Harmon, no editing whatsoever on him.
He may or may not be hammered, and now he's cursing about players who let him down. Festivus taken to the 100th level.
Oh, well, I hope to avoid that fate myself. I still have a theoretical chance at a title. I'll see if I can close it out in the next three weekends. But always a pleasure having you on, Michael. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in today to the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine,
Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Paper Mate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.